I don't got any cookies. Bob, you made it hard for me here, buddy. What I do got is the Word of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And I'm using the NRSV today. Let us listen with our hearts, our minds, our ears, and our entire being to the Word of God. Now, the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the beloved children of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to pray with me, please. Oh, great Jehovah, hear now this prayer. All the packages and bows are gone, dear God, and the Christmas cookies are eaten. And we're a little tired. Yet we still long for the angels to sing, and we still long for meaning from the manger, and we still need the gospel. We need the light from the manger. We need the hope of the cry of the infant. Help us now to see the great good news with fresh eyes. Amongst the exhaustion of the season, let us find rest and renewal. In this moment, O God, reveal yourself to us that we may find the deep joy of the season. Now that the carols are no longer playing on every radio station, let us truly hear the angels sing. Speak, Lord. Speak, my Lord. For we, your children, are listening. Amen. Dear sweet Joseph, you don't get to hear a lot about him, you know? He seems to be a fixture, kind of a add-on, if you will. I've been thinking a lot about Joseph. He had to be a remarkable man. In fact, Joseph only appears in just a few passages in the New Testament. He seems to be here only in Matthew, prominently in Matthew, and then just a couple of places. Paul doesn't even write about him. And then after the passage about Jesus in the temple, age 12, Joseph goes away. But I think Joseph needs some attention today of all days. Can you imagine what it was like for him? He had fallen in love with this young woman. Oh, he took such pride in her. The betrothal usually lasts for a year, and by all intents and purposes, they were married. They just needed to finish the deed. And here she comes with this wild tale of being pregnant. And he's a good and just man. That's what we heard. He's a righteous man, which means several things. It means that he was an observant Jew. He followed the Torah. He kept the law. Okay? Which means that he had every right to have her stoned outside the city walls for becoming pregnant prior to the culmination of the betrothal year. But he chose not to. He was a decent man. He was going to divorce her quietly so that she wouldn't have shame, so that she could actually live. That's a good and just man. His hopes were dashed in that moment. He was a good and just man. He was of the line of David. He was a hard-working man. He was self-sustaining. He was a carpenter. His hands were rough by the trade that he had done. He went to prayers every Sabbath. He knew the law. He was oppressed by the Roman regime. Probably poor, as most people were in that time and place. He had hopes and dreams. He wanted a family. He wanted a son, as most fathers do, to carry on his name. He wanted to teach a son the trade of carpentry, as most fathers do. And yet in the moment of the announcement that his betrothal, the one that he set his eyes on, those were dashed. His hopes were gone. But he was a good and just man. And then an angel comes to him and says, it's okay. Go ahead and be the good and just man that you are and take Mary as your wife. Believe her story. He was a good and just man. He believed in God and he believed the angel. However improbable, however ridiculous, however audacious that story was, he believed God's messenger. Would you? Would you believe God's messenger that came to you and said, this wild cockamamie story was true? I'd say, no, this is just a silly dream, you know. But he believed the messenger. So he protected Mary. He protected her from the gossip of the townsfolk. You know how they were once they saw she was pregnant. You know they talked about Joseph and Mary. You know, they did a little Facebook chat, a little Pinterest, you know. You know, they gathered at the Panera over coffee, and you know what I'm talking about. They talked to Mary's mother about how could she let this happen to her daughter. You know what I'm talking about. But Joseph stood by her. And he stood by this incredible story that the angel said, not only is her pregnancy from the Holy Spirit, but this child that you're going to have to protect is the long-awaited Messiah. Your people's been waiting for this for over 400 years. Now fast forward to the manger. I wonder what he thought as he looked down on that little baby. What humility he had to have. He had to be scared out of his wits. I would have been. Not only is he entrusted with a child, and you got to understand the infant mortality rates were very high back then, okay? Most babies didn't make it past the first 18 months. And she had the baby in not the best circumstances, okay, in a cave. They made it through the birth. And here he is looking down at this little baby. That's not his. He did not father this child. And not only is it not his, it's the Messiah. It is God with flesh and bones. He is a good and just man. And he holds the little fingers and he sees the little toes. And he falls in love with this little boy. What strength of character, what humility, what obedience he had to have. To say, I will lay down my life for this child. For this child is special. And then we overlook a very important verse, very important phrase at the last verse in Matthew's gospel. We're going to pick up with it next week, where Joseph names the child and he called him Jesus. By doing that one act, Joseph has claimed the child as his own. He has given the child a name, says, he is mine. I claim him as my own. Can you imagine? What would it have been like to say that I am going to teach God how to walk, how to hold a spoon, how to play catch, how to build things with his hands? I'm going to teach him how to read the Torah, the law that he was there when Moses took from. Can you imagine what that was like? Joseph was a remarkable man. And yet, we tend to forget about Joseph. We tend to shove him to the background. And it got me to thinking, who else do we shove to the background? Who else do we push to the margins? Who are those great, humble figures of faith who have protected us, who have nurtured us, who have guided us on our way, who have caused us to be the people that we are today? Maybe in this season of joy, we need to stop and think and thank those humble figures of our past who have nurtured us on our way. And maybe during this next week, we should thank them for nurturing us. So my challenge for you is to find one Joseph in your life and look them in the eye and thank them for what they've done for you. Glory be to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill. Amen.